each of you here today. I want to tell the church that the church has a new website. Brother Derek Bailey has designed a new website for the church where you can get all the sermons, but also he's got pictures and just there. It's just a tremendous site that he has designed it himself. So ghtg.www.ghtg.org. That will bring you to the website. I believe it'll bring you to a picture of the church outside. You click on the church, it'll bring you to the website. Also, on sermonaudio.com, we're also on that. You just punch the web where it says web at the top of the page under Elizabeth Baptist Church, and it'll bring you also to the website. We have, I think it's 331 sermons on there. Sermon Audio is doing fantastic, folks. The Lord seems to be really using that. The last stats that I looked at, we almost have 132,000 downloaded sermons off that site. So we're so thankful the Lord's using that. And we want to continue to pray that the Lord will continue to use all these different avenues to seek to reach others that are lost and to spread out some of the different truths that need to be spread out also. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're going to be at today. And I was going to exposit the text, which is what I'd rather have done. I have about three sermons, but this is a message that I kept coming back to when I got up this morning to deal with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what we're going to do is we're going to focus mainly on the statement of verse 9 and 10. But let's go ahead and begin reading at verse 8, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things were happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we have this another opportunity to stand before a congregation of people. And Father, we pray that you'd pour your Spirit out on us today. Our hearts are indeed heavy today. And you know, because you are our God and you know our hearts. And Father, we pray that you'd flood this place with your presence. We're thankful, O God, for the grace that we see upon Brother Dave today. It's just amazing grace that we see there. You're able to reach down and strengthen the heart, God, and that's just more evidence that we can see of that. Father, we pray that you'd be exalted today. We pray that we'd be made to draw closer to you and that we would bring glory, honor, and praise to your name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the sins that are mentioned in verses 8 through verse 11 are concerning the people of Israel, particularly, the generation that came up out of Egypt. With many of them, the text says God was not well pleased, and many of them never made it into the promised land because of their unbelief. And they died in the wilderness. They seen all the great blessings that Lord had done in Egypt. They seen all the parting of the Red Sea. They seen the deliverance in the Passover. They seen him lead them with a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They seen all of those type things, yet they continued to be disbelieving and transgress against God. So here it records some of the sins they committed. Fornication was one. Verse 7, which I didn't read. The idolatry was another. You can go back and you can see all of these sins at different times and run the references from these verses. And you can see the particular occasion that they committed these things. But what I have to do today is going to be so time consuming that I don't have time to go back and look at all those things. So I had to be selective in what we look at. Well, what we want to focus on is in verse 10, and this is a particular sin that is mentioned that they did. And it says, neither murmur ye. And actually, it says it in verse 10, but in verse 9, it's also suggested also there. And it says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted Christ and were destroyed of the serpents. That's in Numbers chapter 21. And what happened in Numbers 21 is they begin to murmur and complain against God in Numbers 21. And the Lord brought in the serpents, and they were bit of the fiery serpents. Remember, they set up the serpent of brass, and whoever looked lived. But the point is that they were complaining in that text. They were murmuring in that text. And then it mentions that same sin again in verse 10. The sin of murmuring and the sin of complaining. Mentions it again. Mentions it twice. Now, we realize that idolatry is a sin, and we consider that a great sin, and it is. And we realize that fornication is a great sin, and it is. And we preach on those things, and we stress those things. But in verses 9 and 10, I believe twice in this text, it encourages, it mentions another sin, and it encourages us not to be murmurers. Neither murmur ye. Well, what in the world does that mean, not to murmur? Well, basically, it means not to grumble. Sometimes, if you ever seen anybody do it, they would usually do it under their breath. If you ever told your children to do something, they'll turn around and go do it, and they'll murmur. They'll quarrel about what you asked them to do under their breath. My mother used to slap me upside the head for that when I was little. I mean, I thought, well, I'm doing it, Mom, but you're grumbling, as she would say. So they would do things like that because they didn't want you to murmur. Well, that's what the message is going to be entitled today, Neither Murmur Ye. We're going to look at the sin of murmuring. And one thing about that is, if you'll think just for a little bit, we usually don't recognize that as a sin. Oh, a lot greater sins than murmuring, are they not? I mean, isn't fornication a great sin? Isn't tempting, idolatry a great sin? All of these things are sins. But so is murmuring. And what we want to do is we want to straighten that out. Might want to back that up a notch there, if you can. Do you know how to turn that back here, Brother Paul? I'm going to fix this for you. So, got one air conditioner on it. We'll be all right. We just got to get everything rolling here. Okay. I want to show you what the sin of murmuring looks like. Let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles to the book of Exodus. I'm going to show you just a couple verses, not a lot. And then we're going to look at this sin of murmuring, and we're going to show you why it indeed is such a great sin. Exodus chapter 16. I can show you a lot of verses with regard to murmuring. Remember what it is? It's to complain or to grumble. Exodus chapter 16 is one example that we're going to look at. Exodus chapter 16, let's notice verse 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, what does it say they did? They murmured. And they complained. The reason why they did that is they wanted food to eat and things. Verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We sat by the flesh pots. We made Egypt look awful good. That's where they was in bondage at. But they would to God that we would have died in the land of Egypt when you did eat bread to the full. But you brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Would have been depressing if you'd have been their leader, would it not? You'd seen God do such great things amongst them. God deliver in such a great fashion. And then they turn around when they face any type of hardship. The first thing they do is they begin to complain and murmur against the Lord their God. That was their response. Let's look at it again now in Numbers chapter 14. I had to just select a few texts because this is more topical. And Numbers chapter 14. I'm just showing you what it looks like so you'll know what murmuring does look like. Because when you look at it in them, I don't know if you're anything like me, when you see it in them, it's irritating. I'm like, my, all they did was whine. All they did was complain. And you look, I'm just showing you a few texts. You can look at it and see it many times in the book of Numbers and also in the book of Exodus. Numbers 14, and all the congregation lifted up, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel did what? Murmured. There you have the word used again. They murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Would God that we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better to return to Egypt? Now, that's just what it looks like. Does that look good to you? Don't look good. I just showed you two verses. I could show you about seven or eight more. Anytime they came into a situation that was very difficult for them, maybe a lack of water, maybe when they needed food, or maybe when they had to travel farther than they wanted to travel, they responded to that hardship by murmuring and by complaining. Now, what should they have done, folks? Do we know what they should have done? Well, sure we know what they should have done. What they should have done, here's some of the things I wrote down for you. Number one, they should have been more grateful, shouldn't they? And I read that text, oh, boy, they should have been more grateful for what the Lord's done for them. For crying out loud, they were in bondage in Egypt. I mean, that wasn't a party for them. They treated them like they were animals and like they were dogs. And God, in His grace and mercy, reached down and delivered them out of the land of Egypt. Miraculously, they seen God's hand as He brought the 10 plagues upon the land that led to their deliverance. They seen God's great hand and God's great power. They should have been more grateful that when they came to the Red Sea and there was no way to go forward, there was no way to go sideways at all or behind, where Pharaoh's army was coming after them to destroy them, and God in His grace parted the Red Sea. And they went through on dry land and came out on the other side. I thought, boy, they should have been more grateful and drawn strength from such things. We go back to the Passover, even before they left Egypt. And God spared all the firstborn of the nation of Israel. And we think when we look at that, they should look at all that God had did in their lives and all they had seen God do in their lives. And you know what they should have been? They should have been more grateful. That's what you say. That's what I said whenever I look at it. That's what you say whenever we look at it. I mean, God, would you agree, had done great things for them. You know what? He fed them every day. Every day. They gathered manna daily, except, of course, one Friday. They gathered a double portion so they wouldn't be doing anything on the Sabbath day. But God miraculously provided bread for them daily. He did that for 40 years. You know what? They had a good pair of shoes, too. Had a pair of shoes that last for 40 years. I mean, we can look at all the great things that God did for them. When they got where they needed water, He brought water out of a rock in a desert for them so that they could have something to drink. And you look at all that God had did. You look at their redemption and you look at all the great deeds. You know what? He led them. They could see God's presence with Him in that pillar of fire and in that cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They could see God's presence with them. And I'd say they should have been more grateful. I almost get irritated, don't you? When you read Exodus and Numbers, you think, whew, a bunch of whiners? That's all they do is complain. Well, we know what they should have done. They should have prayed in their hardship, shouldn't they? They should have went right to the Lord in that hardship. And they should have drawn strength from the past. I mean, God done great things. And you know, God wants us to draw strength from the past. You know, before David slew Goliath, he slew a lion and a bear. God, you can look at the past thing. Man, I look at my life and I can see the past things that God's done for me and the things that God has brought me through. I should be able to draw strength from the past. Well, they didn't draw strength from the past. Whenever a new hardship come, they just fell apart. They never called upon the Lord, Brother Sean, nor did they trust in the Lord either. They just complained and complain against the Lord. Aren't you glad we're not like them? Aren't you glad we're not like them? Folks, we're better off than they were. We have a much better off. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We've been redeemed from bondage too. And the sweet King, He's done a lot of things for us, hasn't He? If He never did nothing else for us but save our soul, that'd be plenty. Hey, don't you believe that? If all He did was wash me from my sin and give me victory over death and give me a home in the Father's house, that's far more than this old sinner ever deserved. And folks, we just think He ought to shower us money from glory and pile it up to our necks and then we'd give Him praise. Hey, He's done great. He's redeemed us. We're better off from them. They were wandering in the wilderness. We go nuts if the church gets hot. We got three. I just kicked the third one on. You notice it's getting cooler? We have to have three of them. They were in a desert. Honestly, they were in a desert. Going across the desert. They didn't know where the water was going to come from. I love to be able to see where I'm going to get my water at, don't you? We got a spigot we get our water out of. They gathered their manna daily. I wouldn't like that either. I like to look at my refrigerator. I got enough there to last a couple weeks in there. I don't like to gather my manna daily. Do you? If you like to gather your manna daily, wonderful for you. They had to go every day and get just enough for that day, and then they had to trust God the next day that it was going to be there again the next day. We don't like to do that. I like to have it enough to roll in, don't you? I like to see it. I like to fling the cabinets open and say, well, now if something happens, I've got enough to last a month. That's the way we are. I'm telling you, we have it better than they did. I mean, we jump all over them. They were in a wilderness. They were about 3 or 4 million people in a desert. They eat bread for 40 years. I don't like to eat the same thing two straight days. We like a variety. So did they. They didn't get a variety. They got manna every day for 40 years. Think about it. That's what they ate. Man, they cooked it and rolled it and made it all kinds of different ways. Now, folks, it's still manna. In Numbers 21, they said, our soul loatheth this light bread. And they complained against the Lord. Folks, we got all those things too, but we have things to a greater degree than they did. Do you see what I'm trying to get across? Yet, when the least little thing happens, we complain. And we murmur. I must say, when I look at this text, I was genuinely ashamed. When I look at this text, it don't take nothing to knock us out of whack. That's the least little thing. Knocked us out of whack. You look at a man like Brother Dave Eisner, who's just a man, just like me and you. And you look at God's grace on him today. I mean, if he can stand before a congregation of people and praise the name of his King, and his wife passed yesterday, that's a tremendous thing. I can praise God today, too. How about you? What's so bad about murmuring? I showed you what it looked like. I looked at what they should have did. We know what they should have did, which we can tell them what they should have did, but we don't do what they should have did either. Least little thing knocks us out of whack. We get shook up at the least little thing. We get stuck in traffic. We'll begin to say, oh, woe is me. I'm going to be late going to the restaurant. And then we look down our nose at these people who are in a desert and ate bread daily, who were in peril of constantly of different things. We don't have no reason to look down our nose at these folks. We're worse than they are in a lot of situations. I guess what I'm trying to say and praise God more. That's what we need to do. What's so bad about whining? This is the message. You say, oh my, it took a 15-minute introduction. I'm going to move through these rapidly. I don't care when I get done. If I get done in 15 minutes, that's fine. But I want to give this to you and ask you to consider. Here's what's so bad about murmuring, number one. Number one, it's a sin. You agree? When's the last time you heard a sermon on murmuring? On complaining? Quarreling? When's the last time you ever heard a message on it? That's convicting, is it not? When's the ever last time you confess that to the Lord? Lord, forgive me for complaining so much. Forgive me for quarreling. Forgive me for murmuring. It's a sin. When he says murmur in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, when he says, neither murmur ye, is that a choice or a command? It's a command. So if you break a command, then it is a... We're selective about what we want to obey, really, in a lot of things. We indeed are. It's a sin. Neither murmur ye. We're not to murmur. God doesn't want His people to murmur and complain constantly. It's listed in the text. Here's what blows my mind. Verse 7, he talked about their idolatry. Verse 8, he talked about their fornication. Verse 9, when he sent the brazen serpents, they were complaining. And verse 10, murmur ye in this text. which comes out of Numbers 14, what they did there in Numbers chapter 14 when they complained against Moses in Korah's rebellion. They were murmuring there. Twice in the context it mentions complaining. Fornication and idolatry. Complaining ain't that bad, is it? Must be pretty bad because it's listed twice. It's listed along the same line. Preach against all the other things. I just think this is one too. So I think number one reason what's so bad about murder, I think it's a sin for God's people to be complainers all the time. Number two, I think it has a negative effect upon your mind. All God's people say it. It has a negative effect upon your mind. It'll pull you down. It pulls you down. Do you realize how much it pulls you down? And it pulls people down around you. You ever work with a complainer? You sure have. I worked with a young man one time, and he was healthy and healthier than I. Well, he wasn't healthy as I was, but he's healthy. And we worked together, and I took a day of it. Finally, I looked at him. I said, "Man, you're killing me. All you do is complain." Well, let's go do this. Oh, my. Are we going to have to? Yeah, we're going to have to do that. It's our job. That's what we get paid for. I said, "Man," the second day came around, I said, "You're killing me." I said, "I'm about ready to go jump off the bridge up there. I can't take another moment of this." I said, "You just go on in there and sit down in the break room and I'll do it myself. I'd rather do it myself as a fool with you." That's what I told him. Isn't that horrible? And the Lord love you as you go. I tell you, I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. Well, Master did love him. He did later on save him. Saved his soul. But boy, he came, he went in there for about an hour and came back and said, "Well, I'll be all right now. I'll keep my mouth shut." I said, "Good." I said, "You're pulling me down and yourself down." So that's another thing that it does. It does indeed pull your, it pulls your whole mind down. Have you ever seen a happy complainer? You like to work with one? You like to even be around one? No, I've never seen a happy complainer. It robs you of joy. It sucks your joy away. You can't be happy in Jesus while you're complaining. Because when you're complaining, all you see is what you're complaining about. You don't see all the other things that God has done. You see the point? You don't see all the other great, marvelous things that the Lord has done in your life. Number one, it's a sin. Number two, it has a negative effect upon your mind. If you keep complaining in time, you know, most quitters are complainers. What did they want to do back in the book of Numbers? Would you notice what they wanted to do? They were in the wilderness. You know where they were heading for, don't you? They're heading towards the promised land. You know what they wanted to do, though, when they were complaining? Somebody tell me. They wanted to go back. Let us go back. You see, complaining leads to quitting. It always does. It leads to depression also. Many times when depression strikes, one of the characteristics of it is complaining. What did Elijah do under the juniper tree? "Lord, I'm the only one left." What he is. And they're seeking to kill me. I've wasted my, you know, basically his ministry was a waste. So it has a negative, it not only is a sin, but it has a negative effect on your mind. Number three. Third. It takes for granted God's blessings. Look at Psalms 123 and verse 6. Says, "He hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Man, the Lord's been good to us, folks. I mean, really, He has. Just everybody here is saved. And even if you're here today and lost, He gives you the next breath you take. You get the benefit of His Son, His reign. You get the benefit of a lot of things the Lord has done. He's a great God. You need to trust Him as your Savior now. But He's great. Hey, if it wasn't for the Lord, folks, I'd probably be dead. Still be in my sin. I wouldn't have a glorious future ahead of me like I got. I wouldn't have victory every day. I wouldn't have nothing. Do you agree with me? He's a good God, folks. He's a good God. He deserves. Well, the fruit of our lips is to be what? Praise. It's to be praised. It takes for granted the Lord's blessings when you're complaining. When you look back at these people, were they overlooking God's blessings? You see them? Well, yeah, it sure was. We look at them and we said, hey, God done great things for them. And look how they complain. How much greater has He done for us when we do the same thing? We're duplicating the same sin. But we don't recognize it as sin. We don't recognize the effect that it has on our minds either. It takes for granted God's blessings. Number four, it robs God of praise that is due His name. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 that the fruit of our lips is to be thanksgiving and praise. Do you agree with that? The fruit of our lips is to be thanksgiving and praise. That's what's to come out. But you know, when complaining and murmuring is all that comes out, He's not getting no praise from that. Used to be when they'd ask me at work, and they'd say, how are you doing today? I'd say, I'm doing great. I'm just another day closer to paradise. And I said, it don't do any good to complain, because God don't get no glory from that. You agree? God don't get no glory from us. He deserves glory. He deserves praise. The Bible says that's to be the fruit of our lips. That should be what comes out of our mouth is praise and glory. But what complaining does is it takes away the praise and glory that is due His name, and you just don't do it. You know, the time for praising God is now. Hezekiah said in the book of Isaiah that the grave cannot praise you. It can't. When you take me, one of these days we'll put my body in the ground. If the Lord don't come in my life, and this old body can't praise Him while it's down in the ground. It can't. The living praises Him. Now we're going to praise Him in heaven too, in spirit. And then later on when we get our body, later on after at the resurrection when we get our new bodies. But folks, we're to praise Him now. We're not to waste a day in this life of complaining when it could have been spent praising our Savior. We're not to waste our time here. How much time have we wasted in our lives by complaining about things that we thought should have turned this way or that way or something else we thought we should have had that we didn't? We do that constantly. I shame myself. Are you? I mean, it literally is a convicting message. It really is to me. We need to be thankful for what God has done. And thankful for what God is doing. And we need to be thankful for what God's going to do. We need to be grateful for that and praise God for that. And trust Him in all of these different things. You got the first four? I've got four more, I think. What's so bad about murmuring? It's a sin. It has a negative effect, number two, upon your mind. It pulls you down and pulls people down around you. See? Causes you to quit and give up and want to go back to Egypt. And do all that. Have you also noticed it in your life? That's exactly what it does. It takes for granted God's blessings. It takes for granted God's blessings. And when you're complaining, you're not being thankful or praising. Number four, it robs God of praise due His name. That's the fourth one. Now, number five, it's a waste of time. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that we are to redeem our time. Take advantage of every moment we have on this earth to serve the King. I've done mention the time for serving is now. The time for praising is now, too. We mention that again. Redeem your time. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have to come to His house and sing to Him. And take advantage that you have during the day to just stop and thanking for what He's done for you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you for redeeming. You know what happens after a period of time? You just take everything for what? Take it all for granted. And we don't deserve a thing of it. Lord, I don't want to take nothing for granted. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed. Folks, isn't He an awesome God? But you can't see how awesome He is if the complaining's all in front of it. That's all you see is the negatives, and you never see the positives. So it's a waste of time. Number six, it's a sign of discontentment. It's a sign of discontentment. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians. Now, a lot of these texts I haven't turned to because I do have so much material today. And I just want to do it in sections. And I pray that the Lord would touch your heart with the message, as He already has mine. Philippians 4. It says this in verse 11, "Now that I speak in respect of want, but I've learned." I don't even like to read this. "I've learned in whatever state that I'm in, therewith to be content." Now, everybody can honestly say that this morning. You can stand up. Have you learned in every state you're in to be content? Every state. Well, as long as I got plenty of money and I feel good, and then I'm content. It says, "I've learned in whatever state that I'm in to be content." That's what Paul wrote. Whatever state that he was in. That means your condition in your life. And you can see an example of that. Whether he was out preaching on the trail, so to speak, whether he was teaching in a synagogue, or whether he was in a Roman prison or a Philippian jail, he said, "I'm content." Content in a jail? I don't know that I'd be content in a jail. I couldn't be without God's grace, could you? But evidently he was. Can you imagine being one of the, him and Paul and Silas in the book of Acts chapter 16 was in a Philippian jail, and he had been beaten and he'd been put in stocks. And at midnight, the scripture says he prayed and he sang praises unto God. Could you imagine all the prisoners hearing them do? They said all the prisoners heard them. Do you think that's a good testimony? Do you think that was strength that the Lord had given him that was outside himself? Do you think Paul was content, if that's where the Lord wanted him, was in that Philippian prison? Do you think that Paul was content to be there even though it was a very trying situation? I think so. I think he was content with his state. I'm often not content with my state. I often think that if God would change my state, then I'd be content. But what I'm telling you today, you got to be content where you're at. Instead of complaining about where you want to be, you got to find contentment where you're at. "Well, now, Jeff, if I made more money, I'd be content." No, you wouldn't. I've been seeing that don't work. "Had a bigger house," you wouldn't. You got to be content with what the Lord has given you, and you got to be content with where the Lord has placed you. All God's people say it. We complain because we ain't content. "Jeff, I'd be content if..." Fill in that blank. "I'd be content if..." Fill in that blank now for me. "I'd be content if what?" What would make you content today? I'm going to tell you what will make you content. You ready for it? You know where I'm going, don't you? A great shepherd. There was a great shepherd that became a king. Wrote the shepherd Psalms, Psalms 23. You remember what David said? "The Lord is my shepherd." What else did he say? "I shall not want." You know why he said he wouldn't want? He was content with the shepherd. He felt that the shepherd would lead him where he needed to be, place him where he needed to be, provide what he needed, direct him where he needed to be. And even when he come down to the day of his death, the shepherd would even go through that with him. "I'm content with the Lord as my shepherd," because I just kind of figure I'm where the Lord wants me to be until he sees fit to move me from there. See what I mean? The Lord is my shepherd. Discontentment. One of the fruits of it is complaining. A discontented person is always complaining. It's a sign of discontentment. Do you see what I'm saying? Complain, complain. Why do you complain? They're discontent. They're discontent with where they're at and all of these different things. You need to find, if you're here today and saved, you need to be thankful for where you're at. Be thankful for what God has given you and thankful for what God's done. As long as you're complaining, you're not going to see anything that God has done, and you're not going to give Him the praise and the glory and honor that's due His name. All God's people said. Number 7. I think that's the right one. What's so bad about murmuring and overlook so much? I've mentioned this, so some of these, really, I could probably cut them down. I just wanted to make sure I got it all in. Overlooks much. When I'm complaining, I'm not seeing blessings. All I see is bad. I've prayed that before. I've been really discouraged, and I said, Lord, I can't see any good. Makes you feel horrible when you pray such a goofy prayer as that. Wonder why you don't cause the earth to open up and me slide right down into a grave or something when I do something that stupid. But I've done that myself. Maybe you have too. Lord, I can't see any good. Can't see any good. Well, when you're complaining in that fashion, it's because complaining is robbing you of being able to be spiritually nearsighted. You can't see what God is doing. God's blessings in the past, God's blessings now, and God's blessings in the future. So you're overlooking all of that. Paul said, and he went through all those beatings and shipwrecks and stoning and all the things he went through. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says how he done that. While we look not at those things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. He kept his mind on the eternal things. And when you're complaining, you're overlooking all that. You're overlooking what God's doing in your life now. You're overlooking what God has done. And you're overlooking what God is going to do in the future. Complaining, you're not seeing none of that. You're overlooking God's purposes, too. Does God have a purpose in every hardship? Do you really mean that? No, we know that. God has a purpose in every hardship. We believe in His sovereignty, do we not? And He's sovereign in everything. I just believe there's things that's happened in my life that it gets the best of me when I think about them very much that I absolutely don't understand. And I can't explain why the Lord does it. I can't give you a reason. Wished I could. But you know, if I dwell my mind on those things, I'll start quarreling over that, Sonny. I'll start quarreling over that. Lord, I don't see how in the world that anything. And I'll complain. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you remind yourself that of what you know to be true, that God has a purpose even for hardship, it lifts you up. Does God have a purpose for hardship in our lives? Well, sure He does. It draws us nearer. I mean, it's a sermon of itself, so I'm not going to get off on it, but it draws you nearer sometimes. Sometimes it draws you where you need to be. You know, sometimes it gives you experience so you can help other people. There's a lot of things, for reasons for hardship, but sometimes the Lord only knows those things. You just have to trust Him. When you complain in hardship, you're overlooking God's purpose, are you not? There ain't no purpose in this thing. Well, yeah, there is. That's why He says, in everything give thanks. That's why He says to rejoice in the Lord always. Because He has a purpose for everything. Well, folks, do you see why murmuring is so bad? I think that's enough. You think that's enough? I think that's enough. I feel done as far as what I was wanting to show you today. It's hard for me to preach today? Yeah, it is. I'm really sad and hard today. Really am. But I think the Lord wanted this message preached. And I think that what we as a group need to understand is that God views murmuring as a sin. And He said in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things are written for our admonition so that we could look at those things and not duplicate what they did. Now, we certainly don't want to duplicate their idolatry, do we? And we certainly don't want to duplicate their fornication. But do we want to duplicate their murmuring? We don't think a thing about doing that because we don't recognize it as being a sin against God. You stop complaining, it'll make you better. Stop complaining, it'll make you better. Make you better spiritually. Draw you up closer to the Lord. Make you have a better testimony. Make you not want to quit. It'll give you strength for the journey if we'll only stop doing this particular sin. I encourage you to do that today. We're going to let you all stand. Ask you all to stand.